From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of October 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll check the agricultural news for the day. Lots happening in Washington, D.C. We'll see what's been going on, too. As the harvest continues in our part of the world, we'll discuss that with the folks out at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and try to discern the impact on the basis levels. And then, as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago should join us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here, Todd. Thank you.
I bet you've been on the phone a little bit, maybe with some folks that are out harvesting. Tell me about the conditions and crop yields.
Yeah, still quite an adventure on the reports. Corn, I've heard, is up as high as 280, 285 in a couple of cases, but there's some 95 bushel corn. Corn continues to be better expected. It's drying down. That was the concern here about a week ago or so, how fast it would dry down, but there's some 16% to 19% readings out there. But overall, corn continues to hang in there, at least here in the eastern part of the growing region. There's some concern about the southern half of Iowa. Bean-wise, there's been some yields as high as 85, 90 bushels, but yet some 45 bushels. Beans, the main feature there is how quick they dry down, and there's some real, real low moisture readings. I've heard as low as 7% on one case. Shattering. We get a rain here towards the middle end of the week, we're going to have an instant cover crop on beans due to the shattering part of that. But bean yields, continue to be strong as a hold. Some are looking at maybe these yields backing off here as we go into the later season varieties. This afternoon's harvest progress report expected to show corn 21% complete as a nation. Last week we were 11%. Conditions unchanged, 61%. So they've been steady here for the last couple weeks. Bean conditions, 60% good to excellent, steady. That's where we've been camped out here for several weeks. Bean harvest, about 25% complete as a nation versus 10%. Last week. So we still have a good chunk of harvest in front of us, and we're continuing to see optimism from a few more bushels to work with than what they were expecting a few weeks ago.
Speaking of bushels, USDA in its grain stocks report managed to take about 44 million bushels out of the ending stocks, we believe, as we look forward into the October number for soybeans, and put that at 301 million bushels. The corn, maybe 56 million bushels lower. That would put it at, what, 2.294 or something like that. That gave the trade on Friday a little thought to the positive side, though that dissipated fairly quickly once we got through the weekend and had good weather forecast. Is this just all today a response to harvest and harvest pressure?
I would believe so. The beans, they revised last year's yield a little bit. Demand's a little bit better for our commodities and what they've been letting on, but not enough to push prices higher. Basis continues to be extremely wide. A lot of excuses there from the commercial side of the equation, but I think over time that can improve here as we get through harvest. But no, crude oil was down, gold, silver down, grains were down. The financials on a soft note, and the Dow was up, so we could have seen some shifting of some money around. But for the most part, I think it's just a lack of buying due to that. We have just ample supply of grain to work through here over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Given expectations are met this afternoon from the USDA for the crop progress report, do you see pressure for the rest of the week on the marketplace?
Well, I think we'll keep a lid on it. I don't foresee a sharp down. There's some tremendous demand underneath the market. China supposedly on holiday, but we did see a sell of 132,000 tons of beans to China this morning. Then we sold 597,000 tons of corn to Mexico. So, you know, it's buyers wanting to probably take advantage of, you know, some breaks in through here. There is some seasonalities coming up. Seasonally, beans are a buy on October 6th, and seasonally, corn's a buy on October 19th. And of course, we'll have the famous Columbus Day holiday a week from today, Todd.
Yeah, that, of course, famous back when we were really low prices and farmers had an extra day to make a decision about LDP, right?
Yeah, we got to find something encouraging here.
Okay. Anything else before I let you go on the livestock side, maybe?
Spread activity more than anything. Buying hogs, selling cattle on the spread. Today's October. October's pork month, so maybe we saw some buying enthusiasm there. We got a lot of numbers to work through. We kind of faded the hog and pig report. I think overall demand remains robust. Still long term, the meat sector is the bullish catalyst in the grain complex as we move into 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, Senate Republicans on Friday released their 2018 budget blueprint, which includes two key things for agriculture. It clears the way for a GOP-only tax overhaul, and it gives flexibility to lawmakers when setting spending amounts for the 2018 Farm Bill. The resolution allows lawmakers to revise allocations for legislation that promotes American agriculture. They can use the same flexibility for bills that address wildfire funding, according to a summary of the resolution. A look at the 89-page proposal finds that it allows Republican tax writers to add up to $1.5 trillion to the deficit over 10 years, giving lawmakers more flexibility as they attempt a once-in-a-generation revamp of the U.S. tax code, with more wiggle room to slash revenue. GOP legislators hope they will be able to go even lower on tax rates for individuals and corporations. So what's next? Well, the House version was introduced back in July, but it's yet to go to the floor for a vote because of disagreements between conservative and moderate Republicans over how much should be cut. The House measure includes about $10 billion in cuts over the next decade for Farm Bill programs, a number that, if finalized, would cause trouble for Agriculture Committee leaders. Still, that's far less than the $70 billion the budget writers were eyeing. Let's stay with the Farm Bill and the fight over some of those dollars. Tensions flared at a recent Senate Ag Committee hearing over whether the Department of Agriculture will seek more money to deal with the opioid epidemic in rural areas, highlighting key Farm Bill funding fights still to come. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue held a listening session on the opioid crisis earlier, and USDA runs rural development programs to deal with drug treatment, prevention, and recovery. But the top Senate Ag Democrat and appropriator Patrick Leahy of Vermont argues it's simply not enough. Leahy pressed Purdue's rural development assistant, Ann Hazlett, repeatedly to say if her agency would ask for more money.
You have my commitment to steward whatever resources are provided.
Are you going to push for us providing those resources?
You have.
I'm wearing my hat as the vice chairman of the Appropriations Committee now.
You have my commitment to steward the resources that are provided.
Well, I would say to steward them, you're going to have to get them. And I realize the restraints. The point, you know, I've talked with Secretary Perdue about this, too.
Senate Ag Chair Pat Roberts intervened, telling Leahy,
Senator, I'm sure that you and I will receive a call from Ann, if not the Secretary, for adequate funding on this most important topic. And we're united in that effort.
Yeah, this is not a Republican or Democratic thing. We're all concerned.
House and Senate appropriators have already reversed the president's proposed cuts in key rural development programs, including water and sewer and other grant and loan programs, but competition for scarce dollars for drug treatment, infrastructure, broadband, and other areas is likely to intensify as ag lawmakers start to craft a new multi-year farm bill over the next several months. And finally today, we'll stay in Washington, D.C. The Senate Agriculture Committee this Thursday is expected to consider the nominations of Bill Northey and Greg Ibaugh. Northey was nominated by the Trump administration to be the Department of Agriculture Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services. Meanwhile, Ibaugh was nominated to be Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. Northey is the current Iowa Ag Secretary, and Ibaugh is the Nebraska Director of Agriculture. The Senate Ag Committee confirmation for the two is scheduled for Thursday, October 5th at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The committee has yet to vote on two other nominees. Steve Sensky, the American Soybean Association CEO, tapped to be Deputy Secretary, and Indiana Ag Director Ted McKinney, nominated to be the first USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, we've been hearing about range and brush fires out west all year long. Now that threat has come to the Corn Belt. Dry conditions from the Dakotas to Illinois should keep farmers wary of accidentally starting a fire. It's not something they're not used to thinking about each harvest, but one to take special note of this season, says Dwayne Friend from the University of Illinois.
And it's one of those things that where you may have a combine out in the field. You may have a truck out in the field, a pickup truck or something like that. And field fires don't always just start immediately. Sometimes you can have them start from plant materials that have been smoldering for 15 or 30 minutes. So, for example, if somebody's driving a vehicle with a hot exhaust pipe through a field that and maybe some of it comes in contact with some dry residue, it can sit there and smolder for a little bit. Gust of wind comes along, and then you end up with a field fire.
A little prevention goes a long ways in this case, says Friend. It starts with keeping the combine clean.
Making sure that a lot of that chaff and stuff is blown off every evening. And yes, if the combine is out in the field, maybe it's a good idea to take a little portable air tank along and blow some of that stuff off. One of the big things with combine fires is when you have a hydraulic line that maybe has worn, and then it breaks and it sprays hydraulic fluid over the engine. And that's how a lot of fires get started with the combine itself. So it's a really good idea to check those hydraulic lines periodically and make sure there aren't any places where you've got some wear or bulges or anything like that. Even removing plant materials from on or near bearings, belts, or other moving parts, because that, of course, generates heat also. Obviously, around the exhaust, you want to make sure that there's nothing getting close to that. Even near ledges or recessed areas and fuel tanks or lines.
The best thing to do if a field fire starts is to first call 911 to get help on the way. If there are fire extinguishers on hand and the decision is to try to fight the fire, try to fight it from the black areas of the field or those places that have already been burned. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Carolyn White. She's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Carolyn. Thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I bet you're busy there at the Andersons
today.
We
are busy today, and we had a great weekend, so all is good.
How late were you open on the weekend, and what are your hours today?
Typically, Monday through Saturday, we are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, that may change as we get busier with corn harvest. That'll be determined. Sunday hours are 11 to 7, typically.
Still mostly in our area taking in the soybeans rather than corn?
We had a big corn day on Saturday. Guys, we're probably right around here. I'm going to guess we're maybe 60 to 65% done in beans. And Saturday was a big corn day, though. So this next week we'll see probably most all corn.
And what are you hearing about yields?
yields are all over the board. Gosh, bean yields certainly better than what folks were anticipating due to the lack of rains that we had in August. There are any, you know, I'm hearing anywhere from 55 to 82. So it's just all over.
And for corn?
Corn, good yields as well. I've not heard near as many corn yields as bean yields, but they are certainly better than expected as well.
Has basis been fading?
Bean basis is awful. Yes, it's been fading and probably going to fade more. Corn right now, our corn bid, we have been 23 under the December for quite some time. I would imagine once we get into the glut of corn harvest, that basis could get wider.
You mentioned bean basis being awful. Is that local and river basis both?
Yes. I mean, that's the processors around us and pretty much everywhere.
Just finally convinced that the beans are there across the whole of the nation then.
Yep.
And your expectations for this week?
Cash corn right now, we are down 4 cents. We would be 3.28. And for soybeans, down 11, we'd be 9.20.
Carolyn White is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday. We're now joined to take a look at the weather forecast by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Farmers are in the field. They've been moving fairly swiftly, though it looks like there's a little rain in the forecast. Tell me where that's going to land.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing rain activity increase across sections of Illinois. Actually, the frontal system that is producing rains out across the western Corn Belt here, well, today and into tonight, in areas such as Nebraska, western Iowa, that will be shifting eastward and start to influence our weather coming up the middle part of this week. That'll be then followed up by another frontal boundary that will become aligned across the Corn Belt here, including Illinois, over the upcoming weekend. And so certainly we're getting into a pattern that will feature more rain activity, and thus the next week to 10 days will not be as dry as the past. But even with the rains here upcoming, they don't look as widespread or heavy over large areas. But for sections of central Illinois, central northern Indiana, even in southern Iowa, northern Missouri, that's where at least over the next week to 10 days, that's where at least the most widespread rains will be concentrated.
Were these expected, or was there something that changed in the forecast?
The pattern has rolled forward here, and that's due to this wave of low pressure that's been out across, or trough of low pressure out across the northern Rockies and the southwest Canada. There's going to be some progression of that as we go through this week. And so computer models started to hint at that last week and have now rolled forward. And if anything, you know, has trended a little bit wetter, but I guess not a total surprise here. One other item of note is that with the increase of rains, we'll come at least some variability in temperatures. And now the next couple of days, just exceptionally warm here again across Illinois, let alone much of the Corn Belt. But then with the increase in rains and cloud cover, we'll see temperatures here cool down, but still being slightly above normal for this time of season.
And turn your attention to South America. Have the rains begun to fall there?
They have. Not all areas yet, especially in Mato Grosso, but for Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, we've already begun to see widespread significant rainfall associated with a frontal system, and those rains will now begin to encompass more of Mato Grosso as we go through today on into tomorrow, including during the day on Wednesday. Now, it's not out of the question that some pockets within Mato Grosso don't pick up as much rain as other areas, but nonetheless, this is a very big rain event, the biggest rain event here of the past several months here. It's not saying a lot since it's been the dry season, but a big increase in soil moisture for this early stage of planting.
Hey, thanks so much, and we do appreciate you taking the time with us on this Monday afternoon.
My pleasure, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium for this Monday. Do pick us up online at willag.org if you get the opportunity. And if you're out in the field, be safe. Get plenty of rest. If you're on the byways of rural America, watch out for those vehicles. They'll be busy there for the next month or so, and they move really quite slow.